today on Real Radio.
God draws a line on you and he says, my grace, as you cry out to him and you repent and you ask God to forgive you, his grace comes. Stand fast in that liberty.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Give Me Liberty, Part 2, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 5 today with verses 1 through 12. We cannot be saved from our sins just by being good or by obeying the law. We can only be saved by believing in Jesus Christ and only in him. In Give Me Liberty Part 1, the Apostle Paul taught us that there is no real life without liberty, and there is no real liberty without grace. Paul also said that there is a cry in our hearts to pursue freedom because life demands freedom. So we're to stand firm in the liberty by which Christ has set us free and not to return to the bondage of a works-based gospel. Today, Pastor Jack tells us, this is God's will for us to keep moving forward in our Christian walk. And when we're exhausted from the difficulties of life, we're to ask God for his strength, and he will help keep us from falling as we stand firm in the freedom that only Christ can give us. And now in his lesson called Give Me Liberty, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, we learned this. Stand fast, therefore, says Paul, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the entire law. You who have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, which avails anything, but faith working through love. Verse 7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him or God or Christ who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even themselves be cut off. In our last time together, we saw this first point to our study. Number one, we saw that regarding our freedom, regarding our liberty, that life demands freedom. It's true in all aspects of life itself. In biology, life demands freedom. In a man's heart who may be, and life that may be sequestered by political rule or some tyranny, there is a cry within every man to pursue freedom. Many nations around the world do not allow people to operate in freedom. And man's heart internally, I mean, think about that for a moment. There are people in deep China, inland China, in communist China, who are longing for freedom, and yet they may have never read about freedom. They may have never read a magazine or never read a book. Maybe they've never read a Bible. They probably haven't. Bibles are illegal. Yet inside they long for freedom. There is something put by God in the human heart to long for freedom. Isn't that amazing? To cry out, to search, and in every culture in the world, throughout all of human history, man has formed or gone about his own works, effort to create some sort of a religious experience that would lead him outside of his own self-existence. Man's cry to be free. Life demands freedom. And Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Very quickly, by way of review, remember what the word stand fast means? It means to take up a position, almost as that of a football player or one who's going to take a stance because he's expecting a hit. One that is positioned and firmly strengthened. And you know, back in those days, the Roman soldiers, they had these tremendous sandals. And they had these metal, as it were, nails. Now, I can imagine that just how walking or marching in soil or in the dirt, how effective that would be. But I have read in old books of historical accounts when Roman legions and Roman guards would march through an area on pavement. Can you imagine hearing those? Well, we call them cleats, wouldn't we? We would call them cleats today. Can you imagine hearing those cleats come marching along, sounding and declaring great stability and great firmness to the Empire of Rome or to Caesar? Great commitment. Paul says, stand fast, therefore. Stand fast in what? In a freedom that is not of this earth. In a freedom that is not of this world. Now, I'm going to warn you right now, I'm kind of pumped up and a little bit jet-lagged. So that's a bad combination, by the way. Freedom is something that men who don't appreciate or understand freedom, they don't want to deal with it. Meaning, they don't want it to be available. That would be called tyranny. When men would have a system where people can enjoy freedom, but they would rather sequester it and hold it down so that other men would not have the freedom to grow, to love, to experience, to live. And the greatest news I heard this week in Germany from people attending the church there is that they said, Pastor Jack, we love the freedom of worshiping God. We come, we worship. There's no set program. We don't have to come in at an exact moment, and there's not some liturgical, and I'm not knocking that exactly. There needs to be freedom to the Holy Spirit, yes, but sometimes some structure. I mean, we have to have some structure here, or else we'll never get to third service. They said they love the freedom. They come in, they set down their backpack, they set down their books. Many of them are students. They grab their Bible and they worship the Lord. Freedom. Freedom to worship. Life demands freedom. And we learn from Paul that when we stand fast, we are going to be determined now to be going forward. The Christian cannot go back. We are determined to go forward. Now, we may backslide, we may slip back, we may not be growing as we ought to, but it is the will of God that we go forward in our walk. When he says, stand fast, therefore, Christian, listen, sometimes we do well just to stand fast. Are you with me? Standing fast is not backsliding. Sometimes you got to hold your ground. Paul is saying, you guys fell in love with Jesus because it was so simple. You heard the gospel. You heard that he died on the cross and set you free from your sins. And when you believed it, you were liberated. I'm asking you now to go back to that truth and dig your heels in and you take a firm stance. Why? Because there's an evil of legalism that will destroy a person's joy in Christ. Having your feet fixed, being strong. We're determined to go forward. We also learned that we're strengthened by God. He says that we're to stand in this liberty by which Christ, mark it in your Bible, has made us free. People, anyone here, Bible student, study, want to get technical? Has made, past tense. Jesus has already done it. This to me, all right, watch out. We should get crazy here right now. You want to know why? Because whatever Jesus was going to do for us to set us free, that we might stand in absolute freedom and forgiveness of sins, guess what? He's done it. It's over. It's a done deal. He's not going to do it again. It's so powerful what he did on the cross. It is so complete. The truth of it is so much in action by the Holy Spirit. He's not going to do it again. So why are we so bummed out? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Stand in the liberty. I had a brother come up to me a couple weeks ago and says, Pastor Jack, I love the Lord, but I can't stop smoking. I can't stop smoking. And by the look in his face, by the way, he looked so condemned. I said, well, first of all, you can't point to the Bible and find a verse that says that smoking is a sin. So I want you to just calm down a moment. The second thing is, yeah, okay, it's not healthy for you. It'll kill you. It stinks. And I don't want to be sitting next to you at a restaurant, even though I love you. But you know what? Why don't you take Galatians 5, verse 1, type it out, and plaster it on the dashboard of your car. Put it everywhere you go. And ask God to deal with your smoking problem. Pastor, can we do that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Take Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and apply it to that situation. Whatever it is. Oh, but you don't know what mine is. I don't want to know, but God knows. And he wrote Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Can a sin be greater than the blood of Christ to forgive?
No.
No. Ooh, I like saying it that loud. No. It's impossible. Jesus died for us, but, ooh, boy. I don't know. That's an awful big sin there. We have any extra blood laying around? No. This man, Christ Jesus, the book of Hebrews tells us, died on the cross once and for all. His blood was enough. Have you sinned so great that you think you have gone outside of the grace of God? Impossible, my friend. In fact, God has made you his target. Oh, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. Oh, I'm not talking about that kind of a target. His heart is beating for you. You are in his sights. And God says, that's the man, that's the woman, that's the teenager, that's that young girl who gave herself away last weekend, her virginity gone. It's her, God says, I want. She doesn't even want herself anymore. Or maybe it's a husband and a wife or whatever the situation might be. God draws a line on you and he says, my grace. As you cry out to him and you repent and you ask God to forgive you, his grace comes. Stand fast in that liberty. To fail at this is to forever live a sad, defeated, unproductive, unfruitful Christian existence. No, we're determined to go forward. God is our strength. We saw that last time. And finally, last time we saw that we are not going back. Jesus Christ has liberated us. It says in the latter end of verse 1 that we are to no longer be entangled again. You should circle that word again. No need to go back to the yoke of bondage. And we talked about what the yoke of bondage was all about. No need to go back to that. God has set us free from it. And so perhaps this morning, for some of you, your Christian walk is a drudgery. You're trying to just hammer out an existence. I want you to know that your argument is not with your neighbor, it's not with your husband, it's not with your wife, it's not with your kids. Your argument is with God. Though you may be going to heaven, you're born again, God wants to have you experience the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And to know that joy that he has set you free, you go to him and you ask him, God, you forgive me, please, of this sin. And Jesus says, I died for that sin, and I've set you free. And you don't go back. Why? In the audience of what Paul is speaking, it would be like this. Why would someone accept Jesus Christ? He's so excited in the areas, in the regions of Galatia. Some of them were Jewish, not many. Most of them were Gentile. But listen, the Jew no longer making animal sacrifice, and the Gentile no longer making pagan sacrifice to the various gods, they've been set free. They've come together, and they're worshiping the Lord. They're having a great time, Jew and Gentile together, in the Word of God, rejoicing. And then somebody comes along and says, well, you know what? Did you sin this week? Yeah, but I confessed that to Jesus. I did. Oh, no, 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 no. Look, you need to offer up another lamb. You need to offer up a turkey or whatever you guys do over here in this Gentile part of the church. And all you Jews, you guys go offer up a sacrifice here. And if you're not circumcised, get circumcised. And you Gentiles, you're definitely probably not circumcised. So everybody over there, get in line. After you've done that, then you'll be okay. God will accept you again. This was the scourge that Paul was fighting against rather than the simple gospel. No, to go back, to go back to the old economy that God through Christ set us free from. How many of your parents, raise your hand, please raise them high. You got kids, keep them up, keep them up. How many of you feel like your kids don't listen to you when you talk? That's interesting. More hands go up now. More. No, but I don't have kids, but if I did, I would. I have employees, you know, or whatever. It frustrates you when you tell them, okay, do this and do that. You know, be careful because you don't want to do it the other way. You do this and then you do that. Why? And then you know how they ask so much, why? How come? Look, I said put this in here first, then turn it on. Just quick, we have to get going. Put that there and turn it on. How? I don't want to. Then do it your way. Boom! There goes that Coleman stove or whatever it is. They just blew up in front of them because they won't listen. Don't go back to your own thinking, to the old way. God says, I got a new thing. Forget the camping. It's a hotel. Go there. It's a lot better. It's great. You know, when you get older, you got to love the hotels as you get older. Why go back? You don't go back to the old system. God has set you free. And you walk in that freedom that Christ has set us free by. Now, we come to our study, our second point, verses 2 through 6. It's most extremely important. And here we see that liberty brings us great wealth. It really does. Liberty brings us wealth. And we'll see four things that Paul will mention here. Number one, we see it here in verse 2. He says here that, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, note it. Number one, Christ will profit you nothing. That's important. If you do this on Mondays, or if you do this on Wednesdays, or if you don't do this on Friday, you'll be okay. Be careful. Scripture here says, if you want to get holy about it, if you want to go to the extreme dedication to God was circumcision. The Bible says if you go even to that point, it profits you zero. No profit. Nothing. Watch out, he warns. Liberty is great wealth. To know Jesus, to have that freedom, to know that your sin is forgiven in Christ, that he's done it all, and that the gospel can be preached, is preached around the world. No longer, listen, no longer changing the cultural dress of some tribe or some people, no longer making people little reproductions of outward things. You know, it would be, I don't know, equivalent to, let's say, the pilgrims who preached the gospel made everybody dress like pilgrims. Well, you can't be a Christian unless you dress like a pilgrim. You know, if somebody would not have read the Bible and just stuck with that, you know what you would be dressed in today? You would have been wearing your pilgrim clothes sitting next to the turkey right here, right now. It's just like that. It's a weird thing. No, God changes hearts and brings liberty. And when that heart is changed on the inside, you cannot cage that man's spirit. We've often said before that there have been people in prisons. There's been people who have been persecuted or led away captive. I know that there's, and you may know, that there's brothers and sisters, there's pastors in China. I'm not going to mention his name. It's not right. It wouldn't be good that I mentioned his name. There was a certain pastor who was preaching the gospel. They arrested him, beat him. And some friends of ours know him personally. They beat him severely. They put him in prison. You know how long he was in prison? He's in prison for 10 years in China. He got out of prison. And 2 days after he got out of prison, he had been preaching the gospel for 2 days after he had been out of prison, preaching. They arrested him and put him in prison. I think this story now goes back. I'm guessing now he's been in prison probably now for 10 or 12 years now. You know why? And you know how he had no fear to go back into prison? Because he was free. This is something that I don't know if we'll ever know. Listen, what would happen if this church and the surrounding churches, I mean, look at the churches that surround this area. Look at the thousands of people who are in churches just within a few miles of this area at this hour. And gross persecution breaks out. Where will you go to worship God? Where will you go when the scripture says, do not forbid the gathering together of brothers and sisters? Personally, behind the scenes, you don't know this yet. It's no need to know it yet. I'm just praying on it and working on it. But I'm working on a home fellowship network of people that you can be connected. You can be connected. You can be connected. You can be connected. Because what happens if something happens and they declare us wacko lunatics or who knows whatever happens and we can't gather together like we can now? You say, Pastor Jack, that would never happen. My dear friend, remember why your ancient mother and father came over on the Mayflower and other ships in the first place. Where will we go?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Give Me Liberty, Part 2. Thanks so much for listening today, and our hope is that you allow the joy of the Lord to be your strength as you continue to walk in God's freedom and in God's grace. Give Me Liberty, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light in a world that preaches a far different gospel, that being the one of good works and the traditions of the past. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, here's an idea for Valentine's Day. We'd like to tell you about a resource that we think you're really going to like. It's the Real Marriage DVD set. It's a collection of discussion-based programs to help provide a solid foundation for a happy and God-honoring marriage. All led by our very own Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, Real Marriage brings you an honest, biblically-based conversation on the issues that married couples deal with on a daily basis. This DVD set is amazing for any married couple. So to celebrate Valentine's Day, we want to offer you the Real Marriage DVD set for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and get your copy of the Real Marriage DVD set. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new Real Life TV program every Friday morning? You know, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So go check that out at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Every Friday morning, a brand new Real Life TV program. It's available right there at our website. You could use our app to get there if you'd like, or go to YouTube and subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. That's every Friday morning, a brand new Real Life TV program. Go check that out at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.